Today is a pretty exciting day because we're starting a new sermon series today titled 2020 Vision, Do We See What God Sees? And this is the beginning of a three-part series that will kind of map out the road or the vision for Vineyard Community Church for this next year and possibly the next several years. The series, the part that we're going to start out today is titled Setting the Goal. So we're going to talk about setting the goals for the church, but also we can use what we're talking about today for our personal lives as well. I know that setting goals can be intimidating. Setting goals can be, you know, just a burden sometimes. And for some people, they love setting goals. But a couple of years ago, here at this church, we wanted to come up with a slogan, with a motto that would fit who we are. And we had this brainstorming session, and we came up with all kinds of slogans and sayings and cool things. But we landed on serve God, serve people. Because we felt that that phrase defines who we are as a church. Because serving goes beyond just loving. Serving is intentional. Serving can bring humility. Serving can come at a cost. Most importantly, though, serving changes lives. And we want to be known as a church that not only serves God, but serves His people. And that the community, the surrounding community in this area knows that we are here and that our doors are always open, no matter what. Moving forward, under the umbrella of serving God and serving people, we've got three passages that we're going to use that will fall underneath that. And what you may not know is every November, we have what we call a goal planning meeting. It's an all-day session. We have as many church leaders who can attend come to that, pastoral staff, and we set the goals for the next year. We look at the previous year, what worked, what didn't work, what do we want to change, what do we want to modify, and then going into the new year, what do we want to do? What worked out? What do we want to tweak? Where do we see ourselves? And so this past November, I had the opportunity to cast the vision for the church. And I really felt like the Lord had given us three verses that fall under the banner, the umbrella of serving God and serving people. And the night before this meeting, I woke up at like about 4 a.m. Some of you that know me might not think that's a big deal because I'm a bit of a late nighter, but I'd just gone to bed at like 3, so. but I woke up and I just felt like the Lord said, He said this, plain as day. He said, listen, this is a significant meeting, more so than all the others. Because 2020, not only is this going to be a new year, but it's also the start of a new decade. And by the end of this year, the leadership of this church will change. Pastor Dave will move into his pastor emeritus role. He's always going to be a pastor. He's always going to be ministering. He's always going to be doing the best that he can do for God's kingdom. That's who he is. But the leadership role will change by the end of this year. But here was the most significant part of that. I felt like God said, listen, all of this is in my timing. 40 plus years ago, Pastor Dave and Roxanna set out to start a church, and they started this church on their own. And this church has been a success. This church has changed thousands of lives under their leadership. And I felt like the Lord said, this is all in my timing. Long before I built this church through Pastor Dave, I saw him as the pastor, the leader of this church. I also saw the changes coming up 40 plus years later, and who was going to be the leader of this church and to carry the torch. And what's most significant about this is that I wanted this to be at the beginning of a new decade. And I do feel that that's significant. A lot of times for me, I'm like, yeah, it's a new year, it's a new decade, get your resolutions, and I just kind of, yeah, all right, that's cool. But I really felt that this hit home. I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, listen, this is significant. And what kind of even solidified this even more for me is that when we went through that goal planning meeting that whole day, the leadership team caught hold of the vision. And for the next few weeks and even till now, we are using some of the verbiage and some of the wording that we used on that day. And that tells me that that is going to become a part of who we are. Not just the leadership team, but all of us as a church family. So today we're going to talk about setting the goal. But here are the three verses. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Next week, we're going to go over Matthew 9:36. When he saw the multitudes, Jesus was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Do we see ourselves as a Matthew 9:36 church? And then we're going to finish it up with Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And I believe that these passages fall under the banner, the heading of serve God and serve people. And I'm beyond excited to see where God takes this church in the next coming years. Because here's the thing. This might come as a shock to you, but this isn't Pastor Dave's church. This isn't my church. This isn't even your church. This is God's church. This is God's church that he established 40 plus years ago through Pastor Dave. And we come here as a church family to meet, to worship God, to lay down our burdens to him, to meet with him, to meet with our church family that we haven't seen in a week or maybe a couple of weeks or whatever. But you know what's most important about a church family? Is we are to love each other. And then, even beyond that, we are to point people to the love that Jesus has for them. God has brought an amazing team of leaders into this church. And I'm honored to be leading them. And I'm excited to see, as we work together, how we will see God's kingdom enlarged, the territory enlarged through this church family. And there are dreams being thought up of what we can do in this church. And we will see them come to life if we pay attention to where God is moving and we move with him. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Some of the things that I've been thinking about for well over a year now and that I think would be just awesome, and I believe they're God dreams. They're things that not just I want to see happen and our leadership team wants to see happen, but I believe these are dreams that God wants to see happen. For instance, a wing on this side of the building, a larger building for our preschool. Kristen Fitterer can have her own office over here. Not that we don't want her with the rest of us. But it's a preschool over here. There's a commercial kitchen over there. We have a thriving middle school ministry, high school ministry, and these teenagers, these students need a place where they can just let off steam, do things that teenagers do, and learn about God. More soccer fields for our Upward Soccer League. more families that don't know Jesus to bring their children here to play soccer and to hear the gospel at the same time. We've got a lot of open area over here where more fields can be put. Larger English as a second language class. We just started our first class back in fall. My wife, that's what she does for a living, had 9 adult students that represented 5 different countries come to this church to help learn English so that they could make it out in the world. They can do job interviews. They can have conversations. They could become a part of the American society, the dream that they have. Clinics packed out every Wednesday. Medical, vision, computer repair, haircuts. Babies being saved through our pregnancy clinic. Could you imagine a single mother or maybe even parents that didn't think that they should have this baby come to this clinic, and years down the road when they see their child grow up, they say to themselves, we almost made a bad decision. But because the gospel was presented and because we had a safe place where they could come and get the knowledge and the truth they need about a life. A multicultural congregation. People from all walks of life. Listen, the landscape, whether you like it or not, of this country is changing. And I want to be a part of what's happening and ushering in God's kingdom to help people become American citizens. And I want to see that at this church. I want to see more people coming to Jesus than we've ever experienced. And you know what else? I want to see this church, not that it isn't. You know, some of these things are new and some of these things we're just going to improve upon. I want to see this as a church where people can come and wrestle out their faith in a loving environment, so that Jesus can help them become the best version of who they were created to be. And people can't always do that on their own. They need help with that. And that's what we're here for as a church family. A lot of people don't like change. Well, none of this is going to happen overnight. Some of this stuff we're just going to improve upon. Some of this stuff we're going to say, listen, where is God moving? Where do we need to commit our works? And how do we need our thoughts to be established in this? But the question remains, how do we make sure that this happens? How do we make sure that this part of the vision doesn't just fall by the wayside in March and April and May, and then we just start going through our day-to-day thing, just kind of making it happen the best we can? Well, let's look at this proverb and ask ourselves, how do we plan on seeing God's work come to fruition? Well, when you commit everything you do to God, not just what you call your spiritual life, but your marital life, your relationship life, your work life, your day-to-day life. You know, when I work on projects at home, you know what I do when I'm done? I'm like, okay, God, please help this stay together. And I think he does sometimes. But I'm committing my works to the Lord, everything that I do. The Bible says, and your thoughts will be established, because he will work with you on establishing your thoughts and staying close to him. This right here, I believe, is the perfect verse for setting goals within God's kingdom. And I think it's something that we all have to work towards, not just as a church family, but individually. We should all be self-examining our lives and saying, all right, where I'm at right now, this is where I want to be in a year from now or 5 years from now, with my marriage, with my work, with my relationships, with my spiritual life. We should all want to be in a better place than where we are right now. I believe that the Christian life is a constant incline. Always getting better. Always a new adventure. But setting goals, you know, it can be intimidating. Setting goals can be, you know, you set them and then you have a setback and then you have another obstacle and you're like, eh. Maybe you set the bar too high. Maybe you didn't set it high enough and you're like, I don't even know why that was even there. You know what the biggest hindrance is, I think, for most of us? We compare ourselves to the person next to us. We compare ourselves to others. We always compare ourselves to somebody who's in a better spot than we are. Why don't we never look around at the person around us who's hurting and say, we always look at ourselves in a negative light when comparing. That's the biggest hindrance. And you know what I think? I think that's the enemy's, one of his greatest tools with us as believers in Jesus. Why don't you look at somebody who's doing better than you and make sure you're never going to succeed like they are? What if we looked at Proverbs 16:3 like this? When it came to setting goals, Steve Jobs, one of the founders of Apple, I'm an Apple guy, got an iPhone, going to get an iWatch, got an iPad, got an iMac. But Steve Jobs said this about setting goals, and I absolutely love this. You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. I think that this is very significant for our church and even for our personal lives. Listen, how can you connect the dots to your future plans when you haven't even been there yet? You got this nice, comprehensive, laid-out plan for your life. It's very detail-oriented. It shows where you're going to be and how you're going to get there. But then something happens, and you didn't expect it. And then you got challenged, and you got intimidated, and you gave up. I think what Steve Jobs is trying to say here is, listen, you've got to learn from where you came from so that you can get to where you want to go. Is it possible that in order to succeed, in order to move ahead in life when setting goals, we should have one foot planted in the past and one foot planted in the future? And I don't mean this is the way we've always done it. Those were the good old days. We shouldn't change them. But what I mean is, you firmly establish where you're at, right? You look at what got you where you're at. You pay attention to the things that were successful and the things that were not, and you evaluate. And then you take one step into the future. You connect a dot. This foot's in the future. This one's still in the past. I'm learning how I got from here to here. Now I'm ready to go again, and I'm going to move again. This one's in the future, and this one's in the past. And you just keep doing that. You evaluate what got you the next step, and as you keep going, you connect the dots. You see, only in hindsight do our plans look perfectly laid out. But in order to get from where I'm at and where I want to be, the road is never a straight road. There's obstacles that come, and we have to be willing to ebb and flow and weave and move and reevaluate. Call audibles when you need to. You know, this past summer, the Vineyard held their national conference, and the national director, Phil Strout, he was talking about the future of the Vineyard churches. And he used Jeremiah. I'm going to read it. If you want to go there, you can. If not, it's up on the screen. Chapter 6, Jeremiah. And he says this: stand at the crossroads and look around and ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Trust, travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, that last part really resonates with me because Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 11, and it's one of my all-time favorite verses. But he said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your souls. God is telling us the same thing. You know, when God told this to Jeremiah, it was a very dark time in his country's history, in the history of Israel. But God was giving Jeremiah a little glimpse of hope in this very dark time. He said, listen, Jeremiah, tell the people to stand at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way, the ancient paths, and walk in it. When you travel down that road, you will have peace. Phil Stroud also said this when using this passage. God is not going to tell us to look if he isn't going to let us see. So, the future of this church, the leadership is changing. But God isn't going to not let us see a glimpse of what is to come. He's not going to say, stand at the crossroads. When you have an obstacle, when you have something that you're struggling with, when you have a decision to make, he's not going to just not tell you anything. But if you look around, pay attention to what's happening, and ask, God, I need some help. What should I do? A, B, or C? The Bible says, ask for the old godly way and walk in it. When you hear from the Lord, travel down that path, and you will know that you're on the right path by the peace that you have in your spirit. Also, get some confirmation with people around you. I believe, for me, I am surrounded by some of the best leaders this world has to offer at this church. We have a solid team of leaders that I couldn't be more honored to be leading with. I know that I'm not doing this alone. None of us are. We're all in this together. You know, when it comes to our future, Jesus will never lead us into the weeds. He's never going to say, come on, follow me, and then jump back and just let you go without knowing where you're going. He may ask you to do some things that are a little out of the box or might seem a little out of the ordinary. You know, for instance, because that's just kind of the way he is, but at the end of the Gospel of John, the disciples were coming in from fishing all night long, and Jesus says, you guys catch any fish? And they're like, no. He says, well, drop your nets on the right side of the boat. I'm not sure what the significance of that is. Maybe they were going to go over here first. He says, drop your nets on the right side. And when they did, they had so many fish, they couldn't pull the nets up. And I don't know, but for me, I think of something like that, and I sense like you're standing at a crossroads. You're searching for wisdom. Jesus, what do you want me to do? And he says, hey, just move your net over here a little bit. You're not catching anything over here. Just move it over here. The goal is always right here, but the road we travel might have some turns and twists in it. That's what makes it the adventure. If I take the business words of Steve Jobs and filter them through God's words, this passage right here, to be exact, Jeremiah 6, I think I can come up with this conclusion. The best laid out plans are never perfect. They only seem like that once we see them come to fruition. And we can either say, oh man, that was a real struggle getting here, but we got here. Or you could put your game face on and tell everybody, whew, that was easy. But it wouldn't be life if there wasn't any struggles, right? It wouldn't be an adventure if we didn't have to seek God's wisdom through things. We wouldn't need anybody to hold on to. He's here to see us through all of this. And he's going to see this church through the next however many years, because this is his church that he established. We just get to be a part of this. I think God was telling Jeremiah and us to stay grounded in his ways. And when we come to a crossroad, look around and search for the wisdom of God. Because without it, we'll just flounder through life. Don't be afraid to alter the path of your direction. And I mean that as a church leadership team at this church, and even in your personal lives. I think sometimes that's where we get ourselves in trouble, because we have an end goal in mind, and when an obstacle comes up, we shut down. But if you seek God's wisdom, he might have you go around something, or he might want to take you on another little adventure before you get to where you're supposed to be. And we will know that we're heading in the right direction by the peace that we have in our spirits. Rest for your souls. To me, that is deep. That's more than just having a good day. That is confirmation. That is solidified. That is peace beyond any peace that you'll ever imagine, because that is the peace of God. The end goal will always be the same, but the road we travel to get there may be quite different than the one that we actually mapped out. So, in closing, when we commit our works to God, when we include him in our plans, Proverbs 16:3 tells us that he will see to it that we succeed. When our thoughts are established in the ways of God, that equals success. That's what that means. You know, we're in the tail end of this spiritual baton being passed. We're also in the very beginning of a new decade. It's going to be exciting, church. I want all of you to join with us. Join with us in prayer. Find areas of ministry that you want to be a part of. Don't just sit back on the sidelines and watch it happen. Be a part of it. I encourage you. Please. We are a church family, and families do things together. The next few years are going to be exciting for this church. They're going to be challenging. We have goals that are set, and we want to see them come to fruition. Nothing is going to happen overnight. We'll take our time. We'll see things through. We'll make sure that we're seeking God's wisdom before we connect one dot to the next. Some things will be successful and some things will not be. The things that are not successful, that's okay. We tried. Successful people learn from their successes and their failures. But we will learn from both our successes and our failures. We will also learn from the past 40 plus years of this church. And we will connect the dots of our future by the things that we've learned from the past. I believe in the team of leaders that we have here at this church. I believe in each one of them. Our middle school, our high school, our collaborative, our pastoral staff, our office staff. And you know why I believe in them so much? Because I work with them daily, and they're hard workers. Everything they do, they dedicate it to God. They do it to the best of their ability. And you know what else? They do it to see the things of God being established at this church. They do it because they know that it's not about them. It's about God's kingdom. Being a part of a church family is not about any one of us. It's about God's kingdom. And here's the deal. When people sense what's happening here, and we are intentional about pointing them to Jesus, and they sense that love from Jesus and from people here in this church, they're going to tell their friends about it. Their lives are going to be changed. And that's what we want, right? When we travel the path that God has laid out for us, we will know we're on the right path by the peace that we all have. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for each person that calls this their church. I thank you for each leader that is a part of this church team. I thank you for the pastors here, for the life group leaders, for the Sunday morning volunteers, everybody, God. I ask that you would ignite a fire in each one of us, God, of excitement about where you want to see your church in the coming decade to come. And that as we go through this series, God, I pray that there is an excitement in each one of us, Lord Jesus. I also ask, Lord God, for your blessing on what we're doing here at Vineyard Community Church, that we will hear your voice like we've never heard it before. We will travel the path that you set out for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a couple things that God was speaking to me about during worship here. One of them was that I was sensing a lot of burdens, people carrying a lot of burdens, and you don't want to head into this new year with that heavy burden on. And maybe you feel like you've been led into the weeds, and you're swamped. You can't get out, and you just don't have anything solid to hold on to. If that pertains to you, I want to pray for you because God wants to set you free from that. Does that hit home with anybody here? If that does, can I see your hand over here? Amen, brother. Over here, another one. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, God wants to change some lives today. Two hands here. Anybody else? Anybody else over here? Yeah. Let's move into this new year, into this new decade. You know, here's the picture that I have. Take the burden off your shoulders and give it to Jesus. That's what he wants. He knows our struggles better than anybody. And he also knows that the only way to stop carrying that struggle around is to give it to him. So those hands that are raised, just lift them up to God for a minute. Let's pray. Lift your hands up to God. I promise you, he wants to change your lives today. Sometimes it's a little baby steps at a time, and sometimes it's a big swoosh. Everything is just gone. God, I pray right now that the hands lifted right now, Jesus, burdens would be lifted. Hurts, struggles, addictions, pains, Lord God, would be washed away. Jesus, that your miraculous healing presence would flow through their bodies right now, God. Bring relief. Bring wisdom. Bring what it is that they are searching for, God, so that they can know that you are in their lives. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name.